Okay, good morning, everybody. Chodesh Tov. Thank you, Mrs. Kamenetsky. Welcome, everybody, to our special Five Towns Far Rockaway Virtual Beis Medrash Weekly Shiur. Today, I am going to be continuing with our theme after Pesach, and that is lessons learned from the life of Rabbi Akiva. I also want to tie this into Matan Torah, since we are on the final days, the countdown towards Zman Matan Torah Seinu and Chag HaShavuos, which is, of course, upon us this coming Thursday evening into Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. So we will begin with a pasuk in Sefer Shemos, in the prelude to Matan Torah, perhaps one of the most famous psukim. Regarding Torah, Matan Torah, the prelude to Matan Torah, on the third month, I begin on Perek Yud Tes of the Book of Shmos, chapter 19. B'chodesh Hashlishi, let's say, Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Yitzrayim, in the third month, from when the children of Israel left Egypt. So the third month, counting from Nisan, is what we call Sivan. On that day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Rashi says, on that day, every day you should see the Torah as if it was given to you anew that day. And they journeyed from Rephidim, and they came to the wilderness of Sinai, and they camped in the desert. They, as a collective, all camped in the desert. Such famous words. And Israel camped there opposite the mountain. So if you note, it says, Vayachanu. This is Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Beis. First, it tells me they camped in the desert. Then it tells me, and he, the literal translation of Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, and he, Israel camped there opposite the mountain. And the big question is, that's Lashon Yachid, in the singular. It's not the singular. We just had Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar yesterday. We have a count of the children of Israel. Once you count the men between the ages of 20 to 60, 600,000, and all of the Levium and all of the women and people over 60 and people under 20. So you're talking about maybe 2 million people. So why does it say Vayichan Hashem Yisrael Negadar? And Israel in the singular camped there opposite the mountain. So Rashi says very, very famously, they camped like one man with one heart. So Vav is and, Yud is he, as in H-E, the English word he, Chan, camped opposite the mountain. But in Lashon HaKodesh, everything is very significant. So you have this idea of one man with one heart, and the prerequisite to Matan Torah is a sense of Achdus and unity, accepting your brother, feeling like each Jew is your brother. I'm one man with one heart. And therefore, it is in the Lashon Yachid, in the singular. I was also thinking it's very interesting because everything in Lashon HaKodesh and Lashon HaTorah is purposeful and deliberate, not deliberate. Nothing the Ribbono Shel Olam wrote in our Torah HaKadosh is chas v'shalom a coincidence or an accident. There are many secrets in Lashon HaKodesh. It's interesting that Vayichan, so the Vav is the end, the Yud is the He, but Ches Nun, when you read it backwards, it's Nun Ches. I'm only in preparation for this year did I realize something which I never realized before, this idea that Nun Ches means Noach. The word is at rest. How do you come to the place, and this is going to be the topic of today's shiur, where you are like one man with one heart, where you feel for every other Jew, where you want for your friend what you want for yourself? Noach. We have to be at rest. We have to make room for others. We have to take a step back. We have to not always be such kana'im when it comes to our fellow Jews, such zealots when it comes to our fellow Jews. We have to understand that when a person is noach, yona matzavo manoach, when a person feels they are at rest, they're willing to step back. They're willing to stand down. They're willing to hear another position. Move over and make some room in your life for another Jew. Vayichan sham yisrael neged ahar. How do you get to the point of achdus? By being a personality who is noach, who understands the ability to be at rest, to step down, to not always be so firm in your stance that you leave no room for your fellow Jews, something that I never recognized before, and I think it's a beautiful and important idea. So with that as our introduction, I go to Maseches Tainis. So Maseches Tainis, Chav Hei Amud Beis. Remember our theme post Shavuos, except for Thursday, we had a special Yom Yerushalayim shir. If you were not able to join us on Thursday, you can find it on YU Torah, on my page. So the theme of learning from Rabbi Akiva. Here we go. Why? I decided to choose Rabbi Akiva, if you recall, because as we journey through this time period of Sfira Sa'omer, we mourn the death of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, I thought it would be important and relevant and perhaps insightful, I hope you agree with me, to learn lessons from Rabbi Akiva. So, Maseches Tainis, Chaf Hei Amud Beis, Tainis 25a. So the Gemara tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a brisa. Maise b'Rabbi Eliezer, I'm quoting from the Gemara, an incident happened with Rabbi Eliezer. Shagazar shalosh esrei ta'anios ala tzibur. It once happened that Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus proclaimed 13 fasts on the community because it was a time of hunger. It was a time of lack of rain, and they needed rain. Velo yardu gashamim, and even though he decreed 13 fasts as the Gemara, it did not rain. But acharona hitchilu hatzibur tzeis. After the final fast, the tzibur, the congregation, began to leave the gathering. They began to leave the base knesses. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus decreed 13 fasts, and after the last fast, the people started to leave. So Rashi says on the Gemara, hitchilu hatzibur tzeis mi base haknesses. They started to leave shul. So Amar lehem, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus said to them, Tikantem kvarim latzmechem. Oh, you're leaving base knesses, but it hasn't rained after the 13 fasts. Aha. Tikantem kvarim la'atzmechem? Did you prepare graves for yourself? Rashi says on the Gemara, kivarim tikantem bitima. He said it with wonder, with shock. Einacham ela lechu kivu atzmechem. You have nothing left to do but go bury yourselves. Mipnei harav. We're in a time of hunger, we're in a time of famine, it's not raining, it didn't rain, you're all leaving shul. Did you prepare graves for yourself? He says rhetorically to them, ga'u kol ha'am b'vchi. When the people heard this, they all lift their voices, they began crying hysterically. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus taught us, go dig graves for yourself, and they all started crying, v'yardu geshamim. And it started to rain, and the footnote in the Art School Gemara points out, Rabbi Eliezer's remarks made a profound impression on the people. When he said to them, did you dig your grave? Like Rashi said, there's nothing left to do but bury yourself. It's a rav, it's a time of hunger and famine, and you're not doing anything to bring the rain. It shows you that those 13 fast days were not enough. They were fasting but without the proper intent. Once they all started crying because they realized that they have to bury their graves, the footnote of the Gemara says, this made a profound impression on the people. They regretted their sins. It led to teshuvah, v'yardu geshavim. And it rained. Okay, different incident. Shuv, ma'ase b'Rabbi Eliezer, sh'yarad l'fnei ateva. Another time it happened that Rabbi Eliezer went down in the capacity of shliach tzibur. He went down to daven for the amud. V'amar esrim v'arba brachos. He said the 24 blessings that were enacted for a fast day. V'lo na'ana, Rabbi Eliezer. Ezra was not answered. Different story. Yarad Rabbi Akiva Acharav. Rabbi Akiva went down after Rabbi Eliezer. The Amar, and he davened also. And Rabbi Akiva said, Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king, Ein lanu melech ela ala ta. These are words that we say in Avinu Malkeinu. We have no king other than you. Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king, Lamancha Rachem Aleinu. Forget for me, Hashem, for your sake, have mercy upon us. V'yardu geshamim. It started to rain. So Rabbi Eliezer went down to the Teva. And he said 24 blessings enacted by the sages for a fast day, and he wasn't answered. Rabbi Akiva went down, and he said, Avinu Malkeinu, two stanzas of the Avinu Malkeinu, v'yardu geshamim. It started to rain. So what happened? Havu miranene rabbanan. The rabbis began murmuring against Rabbi Eliezer. The footnote says, Rabbi Akiva's prayers were answered. Rabbi Eliezer's had not been answered. And the rabbis felt Rabbi Akiva was greater than Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. And they start saying, you know, what's wrong with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? How come Rabbi Akiva's tefillahs were answered? He must be a greater sage. Yatsasa basko v'amra. A heavenly voice, a basko, came out and proclaimed. Why was Rabbi Akiva answered, but Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was not? Lo mipnei shezeh gadol mezeh. The basko said he was not answered, Rabbi Akiva, because he's greater than Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Ela, rather, shezeh ma'avir al midosav. Rabbi Akiva was answered because of the midah of being ma'avir al midosav. Arsko translates it as a forgiving person. It means he lets things slide. He lets it go. He's willing to overlook wrongs that are done to him. V'zeh eino ma'avir al midosav. But this one, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, is not ma'avir al midosav. And the Arsko footnote says, since Rabbi Akiva is a forgiving person, God acted likewise towards him, forgave the sins of the people, and blessed him with rain. So Basko came out and said, you know, it's not that Rabbi Akiva is a greater Talmud Chacham. It's not that he's Baki and Shas more than Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. It's not that Rabbi Akiva knows Kol Torah Kula off by heart, Shabal Peh, and Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus does not. What was the difference, and why did Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus' tefillahs were not answered? And when Rabbi Akiva got up to daven for the Amud and two Avinu Malkeinus, Yardu Gashamim, Mipnei Shazem, Mavir Almidosa, Vizeh Eno Mavir Almidosa, because Rabbi Akiva was willing to forgive, let it go. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. If you want to have Ish Echa B'Levi Echad, if you want V'ahavta L'Rei Echa Kamocha, love for your fellow what you love for yourself, you need to be able to be a person who embodies the Midah of Noach. At rest. Okay. Let it go. Rabbi Akiva was able to be ma'avir al midosav, and therefore he was answered, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was not answered. I want to share with you a beautiful var. Wow. A woman named Esther Edelman, who learns with me Monday night, Queens, Parsha Shir, she had a very, very beautiful var with me. Wow. I quoted this Mishnah on Pirkei Avos a couple of weeks ago, actually, in this Sunday morning shir, and she reached out to me with a different shot. So I'm in Parakei of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Ches, Chapter 5, Mishnah 8 of Pirkei Avos. And the Mishnah tells us, also very relevant for this time, because this is the time when we read Pirkei Avos as we count towards Sinai. We just read Perek Vav this past Shabbos. So this is in Perakei. So the Mishnah tells you, Asara Nisim Naasu Lavosein Beis Hamikdash. There were 10 miracles that were done for our forefathers in the Beis Hamikdash. So some of them were, no woman miscarried from the scent of the sacrificial meat. Okay. There was never a fly in the slaughterhouse. That's an unbelievable miracle. There was shechting the meat constantly. Karban Tamid is twice a day. Never mind today's Rosh Chodesh. Never mind the Musaf offerings. And there was lo nira zavuv beveis hamitbachaim. There was never a fly. All kinds, you can, lo kibu hagashamim, esha atzei maracha. The rains did never extinguish the fire that was on top of the pyre of wood on the altar. Omdim tefufim, I'm not going through all 10, we don't have time. Omdim tefufim, you could look it up. It's Parakei or Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Ches. One of the miracles was the woman never miscarried. Women never miscarried from the scent of the meat. A fly was never seen in the slaughterhouse of the Beis HaMikdash. The rain never extinguished the fire that was on top of the altar. One of the miracles was, Omdim tzufufim umishtachavim revachim. When the people stood in the Beis HaMikdash, we're coming up to Shavuos, it's one of the Shalosh Regalim. On the Shalosh Regalim, there is a mitzvah for every male to be seen before the face of Hashem. Shalosh pamim b'shana yira'eh kol zechurcha es penei ha'adon. You would go up to Beis HaMikdash and you had to leave your home. If you lived in the Galilee, it's a few weeks trip, and you go to Beis HaMikdash. So you can imagine all these people standing on Har HaBayis. There's not so much room. So what was the miracle? Omdim tzifufim. When they stood next to each other, they were squished. There was not room for everybody. But when they bent down, mishtachavim revachim. Is this where I put my fingers? Is that a good illustration? Omdim tzifufim. Umishtachavim. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Revachim. When they were standing up, it was very squishy. There was no room. Translated as the people stood closely pressed together. But yeah, this is a translation of Feld time. They found ample space to prostrate themselves. So when it was time to bow down, when they heard the Shema Meforash, and they had to bow down, all of a sudden there's room for everybody. Omdim tzufufim, when they were standing, it was like sardine cuss in the back of the airplane going to Eretz Yisrael. Avai, you should be so zocha to sit in the back seats and squished going to Eretz Yisrael. But when they had to bend down, there was room for everyone. Okay, it's one of the miracles. So Esther Edelman shared me a geshmak var, told over by Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro. It relates to the topic of today's shir. Just make some room for your friend. Embody the personality of a person who is manoach. Only if you are noach, you're at rest. You're mavir al midosav. You're calm. You're passive. You'll let it slide. Okay, he said something I don't like. You don't have to be all up in arms. Noach leads to chen. So she said, Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro teaches so beautifully this exact word based on these words, not literal interpretation of words, but hashkafically. When you're omeid, when it's your way or the highway, when you refuse to be mavi al midosav, there's no room for everybody else. Omdim tzufufim, when you're standing in your place and you're unwilling to yield, when you're not that Noach personality, there's no room for anybody else. When you're mishtachavim, and you hear someone else's position, when you're willing to concede defeat, chas v'shalom, which is really victory, when you're willing to hear somebody else's point, when you move over and make room, all of a sudden, mishtachavim revachim, if you're willing to yield, if you're willing to bend down, if you're willing to hear someone else's point, if you're willing to move over in life and make room for another Jew, mishtachavim revachim. I thought it was so tremendous. Omdim tzufufim. When a person is omeid, and they're absolutely immovable, and they're stuck in their place, and they're unwilling to compromise, there's no room for anyone else. But when you are mishtachavim, when you proverbially make room for others, when you bow down, when you understand that there are other points in addition to my side, they have a side too. And all of a sudden there is room for everybody else. And I thought it was just tremendous. And it's this idea of vatranus, if you will. The mida of vatranus, the mida of being willing to move over and make room for another Jew. That was a prerequisite for Matan Torah. Think about it, it's interesting. even though the desert's a huge place, I think we could relate this to our shir. How is there room for every Jew on the foothills of this mountain of Sinai? It's a small little mountain. We know the Medrash tells us it's the smallest of all the mountains. And how could there be room for every Jew to stand at the foothill of the mountain? Because this idea of Vayichan is Vayichan. Switch around the Ches Nun Noach. Everyone back down a little to make room for somebody else. Yes, if we're Omdim, and there's no room. But if we're Mishtachavim, all of a sudden, miraculously, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes room for everyone at the foot of the mountain because we want to let our friends in, so Hashem lets us all in. And sometimes it's a hard midah, never mind for individuals, but unfortunately for the community, communities. As similar as Jews are, that's how different they are. Almost built into us. The need to sometimes be so rigid in our position without yielding to someone else. To a different hashkafa within Yahadus, to other types of Jews, who people who see things differently, practice differently, daven differently. Again, I say this all the time, it doesn't mean to concede that their way is right. Let's say they're Mechal Shabbos. Doesn't mean I have to be Mechal Shabbos. Doesn't mean that's the Torah way. Doesn't mean it's the right way. But nobody ever came back to a life of Torah from Kana'os, from people who are Omdim Tzefufim. We have to embrace this Midah of Noach if we want to see the Chain in others. The Gemara tells us, why was Rabbi Akiva answered and Rabbi Eliezer was not answered? They're both unbelievable Talmidei Chachamim. It's not because Rabbi Akiva was a greater Baki Bashas. It's not because he knew the 24 books of Nach, Tanach, HaPayar, and Rabbi Elazar didn't. It's because the Basco said, Beferush, this one is Mavir al Midosav, and this one is not. This one is able to let it go. This one knows the secret of Mishtachavim Revachim, that if I can just yield, there's room for another Jew. This one's rabbi tells him to daven a minyan now, and this one's rabbi tells him not to daven a minyan now. As long as everyone follows their own dastar, why do we have to make this point of contention between each other? In our personal lives, it's also hard. We feel one way, someone else in the family feels another way. And sometimes, when a person is too much omeyed, there's no room for anyone else. And that's not a prerequisite for Torah. It's the same Rabbi Akiva, who was Mavri al-Midoza, who taught us, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. We had a shiur on that a few weeks ago. I'm quoting from the biography of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Avrecha, Zchusa Yagin Aleinu. Snifter Chof Dalet Kislev, the year before last. The director of a new organization came to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal, and he was telling him a representative of another, more established group had contacted him, complaining that the new organization's name sounded too much like that of the older organization's name. It's true, he admitted, they've been around longer, the name sounds similar, but so what? Okay, so this new organization, they made a name for themselves, they came up with a name for their organization, and a different group called them and said, your name is too similar to our name. So this man comes to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, what should he do? And he said, it's true, they've been around longer, the name sounds similar, but so what? So Rav Aaron Leib Steinman innocently inquired, and he said, so why don't you just change the name of your organization? What's the problem? Well, the man said, with all due respect, if someone came to the Rosh Hashiva and told him that his last name, Steinman, bothers him, and he wants the Rosh Hashiva to change his last name to Buzaglo, would the Rosh Hashiva change his name? Rav Aaron Leib looked at this man in the eye and he said, believe me, I would do anything to avoid machlokas. If my last name really bothered someone else, and it would help another Jew, if I changed my last name to Buzaglo, I would gladly do so. And this is not facetious, and it's not a joke. So what's the problem? Move over and make somebody else in your life. Okay, be Mavi Amadosa. You know what the reply is? The answer of heaven is the rains fell down. Geshem is a bracha. Yaradu Geshamim. So Aaron Leib Steinman said, if it would really help someone else, then I will move over. I would change my last name. An older person, one more vignette, but Rav Aaron Leib. An older person with a flowing white beard came to Rav Aaron Leib for a bracha. Please bless me, I should have shalom bayis, he begged. I am always fighting with my wife. How long have you been married? Asked Rav Aaron Leib. A bit more than 50 years, said the man. Rav Aaron Leib was appalled. You are married for 50 years, and you haven't learned the most important thing in a marriage is to work on your midos and break your bad habits. I just want to see something. Oh, here, one more. Rav Yossel came to Rav Aaron Leib to discuss extensive Shalom Bayis problems he and his wife were having. This is a little bit humorous, a little bit sad, and very serious. In order to have a successful marriage, you must do three things, said Rav Aaron Leib to the man. What are those three things, said the man? Be mevater, and be mevater. The man was dumbfounded, and he looked at Rav Aaron Leib, and he said, that's what I tell my wife all the time, and she's still not listening to me. When Rav Aaron Leib would retell this story, he commented, each person has to internalize that he or she is to be the one to be mevater. He or she is to be the one to improve his own midos. That's the key to the successful marriage. I think that this is not a marriage class, and I'm not giving anyone marriage advice, but I think that this is important for Knesset Yisrael. We became betrothed to Ribbono Shel Olam at Har Sinai, so we are all in a sense a chasen and kala together. So Aaron Leib Shlaim said, you want to know success, you want to know shalom bayis, and believe me, Knesset Yisrael needs shalom bayis. You know, the answer is be mevater, be mevater, be mevater. I'm not talking about important issues that's cried as Torah or medical advice, please. Every situation is unique. But in general, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neger Hahar. Excuse me, you know when we are individuals, when we can be the personality of a Noach, a person at rest, a Rabbi Akiva, Halavai, who is able to be Mavir Al Midosav, Omdi Mishtachvim. There's no room. When you are so exacting, when it's so difficult for you to see another way, when you're rigid in your stance, there's absolutely no room for anyone else. But all of a sudden, when you're willing to yield, when you're willing to forgive, when you're willing to let it go, all the time there is room for every other Jew. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know what he says to us? Now there's room for you, B'nei Yisrael, in my world as well. Now there's room for you, room for me, said God, to bestow all of my blessings, all of my geshem, all of my gashmias, all of my brachos upon you, because you made room for another Jew. I will make room, says God, for my storehouses. I will make room for you, the B'nei Yisrael. The pasuk tells us in Sefer Bereishis, thank you very much for your very kind words. Pahalavai. The pasuk tells us, Hashem Safasai Tiftachufi Agit Tel Sacha. The pasuk tells us in Sefer Bereishis, okay, Leah, the only one of the Imahos who does not undergo the trial of infertility. Kitov has a beautiful word on why Leah does not have infertility and the other Imahos do. So Rachel sees that her sister Leah is having a lot of children and it's very hard for her. But then the pasuk tells she comes to Yaakov and she says, give me children, if not I'm dead. Yaakov says, am I instead of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Okay. Perek Lamed Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayizkor Elokim et Rachel. Elokim remembered Rachel. Vayishma Eile Elokim. Elokim listened to her. Vayiftach es Rachma. He opened her womb. Interesting pasuk. Perek Lamed Pasuk Chaf Beis in Bereishis, chapter 30, verse 22. First off, you know its name Din. Shem Hashem of Din. The attribute of God of strict justice. You would expect to see the attribute of Hashem of Midas HaRachamim. Vayizkor Hashem at Rachel, not Vayizkor Elokim at Rachel. Elokim indicates strict justice. So how did Rachel, that means according to strict justice, she should not have been worthy to have children. So how did Rachel ensure that God remembered her, that God listened to her? Furthermore, what does it mean Vayishma Eila Elokim? So Targum Onkus on this pasuk says, Val duchrana de Rachel kadam Hashem. Rachel was remembered before God. V'kabil tzilosa Hashem. Targum Onkelos explains that when it says Vayishma Eile Elokim, God listened to her, it means God accepted her prayers. So even though the Torah text does not tell us that Rachel davened, Onkelos explains that Rachel prayed, and that is what it means when the pasuk says God listened to Rachel. Otherwise, we don't know what he listened to. It doesn't tell me she did anything. Onkelos says, you know what she did? She prayed. V'kabil tzilosa Hashem. God accepted her prayers. So what, in what merit, I should say, was Rachel worthy that Midas Hadin, the attribute of strict justice, should listen to Rachel's prayers, remember her, and override the Gezerah that she should not be Zocha to have children. So Rashi says, what did God remember? Zacharla Shemasra Simoneha La'achosa. Rashi gives two reasons for purposes of Arshir. We're only talking about the first one. We're starting to run out of time. Whew, time goes too fast. Zachar la shemasra simaneha la achosa. Minor Hashem remembered, she gave her signs over to her sister. So we know the famous Chumash and the teaching of Chazal, that Yaakov was already suspicious of his father-in-law, the Arami, the trickster, that he was going to try to pull the wool over in his eyes, which in fact he did. So Rachel gave her signs to Leah, that on the night of the marriage, Yaakov would not know he was marrying the wrong sister. I put wrong in quotes, because of course everything is orchestrated by the Ribbono Shel Olam, but Rachel was very selfless. Is there any greater mida of being Noach, at rest, of being Mavir al Midosav, Mishtachavim Ravachim, bowing down and making room for somebody else, and Rachel ensuring that Leah would not become Esav's wife, but rather would become an Aim B'Yisrael. Not only did Leah become the Aim B'Yisrael, but she's Zocha to Yehuda, which is Malchus, from which base David comes. She's Zocha to Levi, which the Kohanim and the Levium come. She's Zocha to Yisachar, the tribe of Torah. She's Zocha to some of the most illustrious tribes, Leah, because Rachel gave her position so that Leah can be the first wife. Is there, in fact, had she not married him, everybody say, we know Rashi says, V'enei Leah Rakus, because everybody said, Leah was going to marry Esav. That means that the Am Yisrael, the Shiftei Ka, these are the mothers of the Shiftei Ka, the 12 tribes were born of the Midah of Ma'avir al-Midosav. They were born of the Midah of two women learning to make room for somebody else. Yaakov is the love of her life. He appears at the well. He hugs her. He kisses her. He's crying because he doesn't have jewelry to give her. It was like a few days in his eyes. We spoke about that in one of the first shiurim. So he loves her so much. 7 years is like a few days. Finally, he's going to be married. And she says, you know, I want my sister to have a position of importance too with this tzaddik. So I'm going to give her the signs. So she's not embarrassed. I'm going to give her the sign so she becomes an Aim B'Yisrael. That means that our foundation, our birthing, Am Yisrael, the Shiftei Ka, was born of the ability to be a person who embraces the Midah of Noach, at rest, Ma'avir al Midosav, the importance of seeing somebody else's perspective in this world, somebody else's opinion, validating someone else's needs and concerns. The rabbi told you could have with milad. This rabbi said it's okay to go inside, tell people, mess. This rabbi said it's okay to go everyone on their own driving. This rabbi said everyone can go on their own line. As long as you consult with your das Torah, so there's no room to meddle in somebody else's business. There's no room to be omeyed, so rigid, that there's no room for anybody else at the foothills of Har Sinai. Only when we make room for another Jew, Hashem says, I want part of that. And then, Vayirid Hashem ba'anan. Then Hashem comes down on the cloud and he says, I have a matana. Zman matan torosenu. Matan is from the word matana, or I should say matana is from the shoresh matan. God says, I have a gift for you. But the gift is only based on the principle of zaklal gadol b'torah, v'ahavta v'yachol kamocha. Rabbi Kiva's tefillos were answered over Rabbi Elazar ben Harkonus, not because he was a greater Talmud Chacham, because he was Mavir al-Midosav. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want to be Mavir al-Midos to do for you. By Yizkor Elokim et Rachel. He remembered Rachel. Zachar, why did Hashem remember? Midas Elokim, Din. Strict attribute of justice should not yield to her tefillos. Strict attribute of justice, al-Pidin, she should not be worthy to children. But what happened? She gave her signs to her sister. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, these are the mothers who will build Am Yisrael. That means our entire nation is built on the midah of moving over and making room for someone else. On these psukim, Rav Pam Zatzal, Rav Avram Pam, Zecher Tzadik Kalish Avracha, noted that when presented with the opportunity, I'm going to finish with this thought, to do chesed, one should seize the moment. Hashem may be offering you a crucial chance to attain merit for yourself, to change your destiny. The Torah states, Vayizkar Elokim et Rachel. What can Hashem remember? That she was silent for her sister's sake. She enabled her sister to marry that tzaddik. When Laban presented Yaakov with Leah, Rachel knew, but she remained quiet. Not only did she remain quiet, she enabled her sister by giving her the signs to marry Yaakov. Therefore, Elokim, God's attribute of justice, says Rav Pam, decreed that by right, Rachel should be granted a child because she acted selflessly. She was Mavir al-Midoseha. She was bowing and making room for someone else. Says Rav Pam, quote, the kindness which Hashem performed for Rachel is truly incredible. 14 years before Yosef's birth, heaven arranged an opportunity for Rachel to attain merit, so she would bear children as an Eim b'Yisrael. 14 years before she had Yosef, Hashem arranged that she would give the signs to her sister. How awesome would the loss have been had Rachel not seized the opportunity to do kindness for her sister. What is the Musar Haskel for us, says Rav Kahneman? With this thought we end. A person should be zealous whenever an opportunity to do for someone else comes his way. He should realize that the ways of God are hidden. And perhaps in Hashem allowing you to help somebody else, to move over and make room for somebody else, to see someone else's perspective, to forgive, to let it go, to be Noach instead of Omeid. This opportunity is Hashem doing kindness for you. You think you're doing for somebody else. The Ribbono Shel Olam is doing for you. God is calling to you to grab the tip of the scepter of the king, the Melech, who is the Tov and the Meitiv, the one who is good and does good for all. As doing. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. It's a pasha difficult midah. It's a difficult inside. A human being has a need to be right. But it's not the Torah way. It doesn't mean chas v'sham. If your rabbi says daven a minyan, you should be daven a minyan. If your rabbi says don't daven a minyan, then you follow your emunas chacham. You don't daven right now a minyan. Our rabbanim, our das Torahs, we do not daven a minyan right now. So I tell my kids, we're following the mitzvah of emunas chachamim. But to respect your other Jew, to see their position, to make room. I don't know if this have to be so omeid. Because then it's tzufufim. There's no room for you. And I'm mishtachavim. All of a sudden there's room for everybody. And that's what God wants a part of. That's why Rabbi Akiva was answered. Rabbi Elazar was not answered. And it's in that merit. Yichon sham Yisrael neged ha'har ki yish echa b'lev echad. When we were Noach, all of a sudden there's room for others. I thank you for learning with me. I wish you a very meaningful Chodesh Tov. Amantha Besuras Tovos. Yeshuos. Let us grab the gifts. Man matan Torah Seder. Boshom says, I have a matana. And let us say we want Kabbalah Sator. We accept the great gift with all the lessons that we have learned together. I wish you a Chodesh Tov and a wonderful Yom Tov. Amen v'amen. Thank you all.